Welcome to Life Turned On, where we share and celebrate the stories of sexual self-discovery in midlife and beyond. Society tells us women's sexuality ends once she reaches a certain age, her body changes, or even when she reaches certain milestones such as motherhood or menopause. They want to turn us off, but we are committed to living life turned on, full of pleasure, deep joy, and an authentic expression of self. Listen in as we share stories of women who are ditching old scripts to pursue their own path to pleasure in their lives and their sexuality. I'm your host, Shauna Stewart, and I want you to get ready for honest conversations, practical advice, and inspiration along the way. Because here at Life Turned On, we believe that pleasure is our birthright and the time to claim it is now. Welcome back. I'm so glad that you're here, and I really hope that you're enjoying the fall days right now. Today, we are going to chat with our guest about her journey with BDSM. And kink and BDSM are so often misunderstood. I remember having a lot of like really judgmental or fearful thoughts at one point myself. But the more I learn about it and the more I understand it, the more I'm able to see it as a pathway for pleasure, healing, self-discovery, and play. We as adults often get very little playtime in our lives, and this is really an opportunity to do just that. So our guest today is Hera Allison. Hera is an award-winning designer, photographer, and podcaster. I actually had the opportunity to be on her podcast about a year and a half ago, and she's the publisher and designer of Beneath Your Beautiful magazine. So the podcast is See Beneath Your Beautiful, and then she has a magazine, Beneath Your Beautiful. Hera loves to tell stories with her art and to capture our depth and our longing. So welcome, Hera. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you. Thank you. And also now the podcast is Beneath Your Beautiful, which I had hoped it would be. But I mean, I made a mistake. And so now everything's Beneath Your Beautiful.
Oh, perfect. So it's all aligned.
Yeah.
Perfect.
It is Beneath Your Beautiful. Yeah.
I love that. Well, you have some really great stories about people overcoming adversity and turning just challenging times into really beautiful stories and beautiful expressions in the world. So.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate you putting that out into the world. All right. So before we dive into talking about all things BDSM, and we were just chuckling about how it's like 9 o'clock when we're recording this, 9 o'clock in the morning. So it's a little early to be
I'm not a morning person, you know, I'm not a morning sex person.
Yeah. Me too. I just had that conversation with my husband in one of our last episodes. But anyway, okay. So let's define BDSM a little bit. So the acronym traditionally kind of refers to bondage, discipline, submission, and masochism.
I think the S is sadism.
Yeah. So submission, sadism can be part of it. And then sensation can be part of it. So like sensory play.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
So that's new to me. That's excellent. Well, I feel like all of that is true.
Right.
All of it is appropriate. It doesn't even matter that doesn't matter, but I had never heard that. So thanks for that. And they're all appropriate.
Yeah. And I think what's so neat about BDSM is how customizable it is. And I had the pleasure of sitting in on a kink conference, and Midori was leading it. And she just has this really beautiful, expansive view of BDSM. What she talks about is how, like, the kink community or the BDSM community, we can trade one set of rules for another and get really rigid about it. And I think that her goal is really just to make sure that we're staying in expansive, open spaces. And as long as we're talking through things and being really consensual and negotiating and communicating really well, there's a lot of room for play and so forth. But these days, like, a lot of people get their introduction to BDSM through the 50 Shades series.
Oh, yeah.
You got your introduction through a different series. Can you talk about that?
Sure. And actually, I've never seen 50 Shades of Grey.
You haven't? The books. Oh, wow.
I've started the movie and I wasn't enjoying it. But anyway, I was about 18 or 19 when I found a book in a regular bookstore called The Sleeping Beauty Chronicles. And it was Anne Rice writing under a pseudonym. Is that how you say it? A pseudonym?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Anyway, under an assumed name. But also, and then it says Anne Rice writing as. Anyway, it was about Sleeping Beauty being forced into submission, basically. That's the easiest way of saying it. But boy, did my mind turn on. I kind of felt understood because I always had those feelings of my fantasies are always of submission. And I was touched inappropriately when I was younger. And so I was ashamed of those thoughts because I thought it had to do with that. And then I read the books and realized that it is a normal thing because somebody else wrote about it. So she must think it. At least there was one other person in the entire world, the writer, who also had those fantasies. Mm-hmm. And over the years doing some work, I now, and reading more recently, Come As You Are. I don't know if you've read that book.
Oh, yeah.
Really opened my mind to, doesn't matter what I like, it's what I like. That there's no need for explanation or shame, or I don't even have to know why, which for many, many years, I wondered and worried why.
Yeah.
And so I love the freedom of not having to know why. That's kind of new, actually, maybe in the last few years.
Yeah, that's really interesting because I'm in a certification program right now, and we have therapists, psychologists in the program, but we also have dominatrixes, sex workers, mm-hmm. coaches, all sorts of people who are in this program and professions. And one of the interesting things about being in the program with psychologists is that there's kind of this tendency to want to pathologize a lot of sexual behaviors that seem not, quote unquote, non-normative. Mm-hmm. But the reality is about 50% of people engage in kink and BDSM activities. Yeah. So, I mean, that's like a big chunk of the population that's engaging
in that. And that's 50% of the people who are willing to tell you that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, I just think that we're all sexual and we all pretend we're not. You know, mm-hmm. I just wish it was more of a easy conversation. I tried to secretly ask my kids what they thought of BDSM. First of all, they corrected me. They said it's S&M. Like, they don't even know the acronym. Mm. And I showed them a picture of a St. Andrew's cross. Do you know what that is?
Yep.
And they were like, oh, that's like pushing it too far. Like, they were just mortified.
Right.
I was like, oh, well, someday, maybe when I'm dead, they'll know about their mother. I don't know. I don't think it's safe at the moment to tell them, but I almost wish I could have the conversation. They're grown women. And I wish I had a safe place to talk to somebody about my desires.
Yeah.
And that, I wish I could be a safe place for them, but I understand I'm the mom and that's disgusting to them.
Oh, yeah.
I get it.
The Sleeping Beauty Chronicles inspired your journey. Can you talk mm-hmm. about what can happen after that?
You know, my husband and I had this conversation when I said I wanted to do this podcast because I was just on another podcast talking about my history with BDSM. Mm-hmm. And he was surprised because, of course, I haven't told him all the things. Mm. He was surprised at the things I shared because he didn't know about them. Mm. And I can just say, I would like to just say, if that's okay, to contrast what I have with my husband is that it wasn't always loving. It wasn't always with a partner who took me into consideration first, which is what I think is the most important part of BDSM, mm-hmm. that it's really all about me, not even about the, you know, there's a lot of men out there that are call themselves DOMs or, you know, and are just using women who sexually like to be submissive. I mean, I am not a doormat. I'm a professional woman. I'm successful in business. Sexually, I very much enjoy giving up all control and having no say. But that doesn't always work in relationships or, well, sexual relationships. Like, so this, the contrast to that is being with my husband, who is like maybe the kindest person I've ever met, will jump up to, you know, get me a drink or cover my feet with a blanket or tuck me in bed at night, you know, just the sweetest, kindest man. And then we can play with BDSM, where he's a little bit beautifully sadistic to my submission. It's just a beautiful balance, and it's so intimate. The connection, we usually play for like 3 or 4 hours at a time. I just never once think of my phone or anything else. You know, that's just, it's 100% focus. And it's a really beautiful, intimate experience because I'm free to be sexy and sexual, where, you know, most days I'm working hard or I'm doing something and, you know, I'm busy, busy. And it's nice just turn off and to be a woman in that way.
Do you consider your marriage outside of the bedroom to be fairly egalitarian?
What's that word mean?
Like, do you,
Equal?
equal, you're t both taking responsibility
Oh.
for finances and
We split.
household chores and.
We might, it might even seem weird to people, but we literally split the bills in half. We write, you know, like, here's all the bills this month, and we pay each half. It is literally equal. Or he does more than me. Maybe I'm lazier. He's always taken care of. He's just, no, yeah, it's not, he's not dominating out of the bedroom at all. You wouldn't even believe that he can get into that mindset. So it's also very, it's a turn on because he's so sweet and can be a little devilish.
So in the bedroom, he's the dominant, you're the submissive. The interesting thing I think about the relationship is the submissive, as you were kind of saying, is like you get to be very in your own desires and in your own world and inwardly focused. Whereas in contrast to your daily life, you're t running a business, you're taking care of the kids, you're managing finances, all of that. But the Dom, I think a lot of times people think that the Dom position is in a taking role, but it's a very much a giving role. And
I
it's like
think
the,
100%.
yeah, and it's for their own pleasure. They're getting pleasure out of giving. But it's interesting that like you describe your husband as being very sweet outside of the bedroom, but there's this like next level energy, but it's still the same thing. Like he's
It's
still giving to you, he's still caring for you in this way.
100%. He's always making sure I'm feeling good, that it's a, you know, that it's not, nothing went too far, you know. We're pushing boundaries, but he's always checking in. It is so beautiful, really. But yes, you could ask him too. He would say, it's all about me.
Can you kind of describe or paint a picture for us for like what that play styles look like? What are you using? What are you playing with? What does a scene or
Okay.
scenario look like?
I just laughed because somebody once said, somebody we both know and said they found they there was this little like toolbox that you could that it would sanitize itself, the toys in it, and I was like, I haven't we have a giant chest, like there's just no little toolbox. This is serious shit here. We have every kind of dildo, whip, I don't, crop, nipple clamps, I'm trying to think of all the things, anal plugs, just electricity even. I mean, it's a cornucopia. It's never the same thing twice, which is fun. I never know what's coming, which is very fun. I'm just sweet and obedient, and it is really fun to just not be in charge.
Do you still do consent conversations between each scene?
My husband and I are very, very in tune. I feel like I must give off really good signals because he always knows to go harder or back off. I don't know how he knows, but we seem to be very in tune with each other. But every single time afterwards, we're in the glow of it and feeling sweet towards each other and like, you know, relaxed. We talk about what we liked, sometimes what I didn't like or didn't work for me, you know, that it's no reflection on him, but that my body didn't respond in the way we had hoped. And that's all it ever is. I find it fascinating that I tr always flip from pain to pleasure. My body is very exciting that way. Like he's always like, he'll say something and take me out of the moment and say something like, you know, like something about the pain. And I'm like, oh yeah, supposed to hurt. It doesn't hurt at all. It just feels so good. So that is my body. And that is, it's just a really pleasant experience. Yes, we have the conversation usually afterwards, but I have in the middle of a I'll say a scene, but it doesn't feel like we're doesn't feel fake like a scene. But during a scene, I'll say, like, if something's bothering me, like I've had mouth gags, what do you say? Anyway, that have been uncomfortable and have meant pointed to, take that out. That's not good. So he's not forcing me to do anything I'm not 100% into.
Do you play with ropes?
We have ropes and that's fun too. It's fun to have no say. Isn't that a weird thing? But it's just fun to be like, well, got to do what he says because here I am tied up. That's how I feel like it's like permission. I'm going to say the words. It feels like permission to be a slut. And I really appreciate the permission because for so many years I shamed myself for the desires I've had. And I really enjoy just being free. And because we are so intimate with each other and loving, I mean, it's grown and grown and grown and grown and grown. And every single time I'm more free and more free and more free. And so it's a really beautiful experience that we're 9 years together and it's amazing and better than ever before. Like it's better every week. Every time we have sex is better than the last time we've had sex, which I don't think most couples would say. I think it goes downwards.
Is BDSM kind of part of your regular play together? Do you play outside of BDSM scenarios?
Even when we have like sex in bed and not sex in our sex room, because we have a
Okay.
room
Oh, you have a
kind of
sex room? Ah, what a
dedicated to
dream.
that. It still contains elements of it. Like, he'll pull my nipples because my body totally responds. My body loves it. And so, if I wasn't in the mood, that would be one way to get me in the mood, So it always contains elements of it just because we both like it.
Are you familiar with the erotic blueprints? The blueprints kind of refer to what kind of touch, what kind of energy, what kind of situation do you need to become fully aroused and understanding how your body reacts, what it desires, what it wants, and so forth. And so there's sensual, energetic, sexual, kink, and shapeshifter. And a shapeshifter is a combination of all of them. And with the kink blueprint, the shadow side of kink is shame. And part of that is because there's this desire for the taboo, and taboo can be whatever taboo is for you. So again, I always say, like, some people that's doggy style, and some people it's having dungeons, and everything in between and beyond. But then because they are considered quote unquote, like, not consistent with what people identify as regular, normal sex, there can be the shame component of, like, what's wrong with me? Why do I like these things? And what I'm hearing you say is that kind of the more your experience that sense of freedom and what might even be called subspace for you, the more you're kind of leaning into the pleasure, your desires, the likes, what you love, and the better able you're able to let go of that shame and the stuff that was holding you back.
And also feeling very, very, very safe is helping. Like I know I'm never not safe. There's none of that component, even though I say he's devilish. I mean, I'm like, I know I'm fine. But a few years ago, I was talking to somebody who does family internal systems. Is that right? Family. Oh, IFS. Oh, yeah. IFS. And she really helped me in terms of sex because my image would be we're in our room, we're playing, and I would feel bitter old lady in the corner tisking me. Like I would be shaming myself with this lady, like how dare I be doing this, even though I was enjoying myself and so was my husband. And she helped me realize that I have not always been in a safe situation. And the tisking lady was really a helpful crossing guard in elementary school, making sure I was safe. Okay, just checking in, you're good. And that really changed my sex life because I was able to forgive myself or whatever the words are. I was able to, whenever I felt that, uh-oh, what am I doing? Which is sometimes does still happen. I'm able to go, oh, well, yes, you're safe. You're enjoying yourself. Your husband's enjoying himself. Everybody's having fun. You're go on, you can cross the road now. So that was really, really helpful to realize what was happening inside of me. Sometimes in the middle of it, you're like, why do I like this? Still like you're like, that if you have, I don't know if you've ever played, but like nipple clamps on your, what looks like should really hurt. And but it's just providing pleasure, but because it looks like it should hurt, or you're just like, what is happening? Why am I this way? I still kind of question it sometimes, but then I remember that I think Come As You Are should be required reading for everybody. I remember that
Amen.
it doesn't matter what I like or why I like it. It doesn't matter. I'm pleasure is my birthright, and if this provides pleasure and my partner is, in it, go for it. So, but that it's taking a while. I'm a week away or something from 56 years old. But at this age, and I want to say at this age, and I've gained a lot of weight through COVID, best sex I'm ever having. Your age
Good.
and your weight does not define what can go on in the bedroom.
Yes. Amen to all of that. I agree. Come As You Are should be required reading. I have so many people who come in, give me hugs in tears, like just they're like life changing. I had somebody this last week, changed my life, made my whole life make sense. I'm like, yes,
Oh,
it
I interviewed a bunch of women on my podcast about sex, and I had read Come As You Are. That's what inspired it. And this one girl was like, she was with this guy who would never take care of her. They'd been together 6 years. And I'm like, I'm not an expert, but I hope after this podcast, you'll read that book. And since then, I've seen her recommend it to many people, and she's left the guy. So, yay, I did something good in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible. We really don't know. We're not taught about women's pleasure. And my husband was asking, why do I feel inspired to be on your podcast? And that is the reason, because we don't talk about it. And even just sex is taboo. And I don't want it to be. I don't want it to be for younger women. I want them to be able to embrace their sexuality without shame. And so I'm willing to talk about it and feel strongly about talking about it.
Yeah, well, I sure appreciate you being on here. I appreciate all of our guests because I do focus on that midlife point and beyond. But I've had, especially in the last week, so many young women tell me that they're tuning into the podcast and listening to it. And
Awesome.
it helps so much to have, I think, models of courage and authenticity and transparency, and just like normalizing these conversations and talking about them is enormously liberating. Because when you can hear other people talking about it, maybe you can have those conversations in your own life as well, or start tiptoeing into those conversations.
Yeah. I was on another podcast, and the lady, I was saying, like very shyly, I said that I give myself an enema before we play. And I was like, almost didn't say it. And she's like, we all do that. And I was like, oh, now I feel like, okay, so what? Now I can just say it because she gave me permission to, because if anybody plays that way, that's what they do. So I really agree with what you're saying. Like now I feel like whatever, I gave myself an enema, but before I couldn't even say it. I was so shy about saying it. I was like the worst thing, I get whipped with, chains and stuff, but I gave myself an enema was the hard part to say.
It's funny how words can trip us up like that. I'm wondering, was your partner, your husband, was he into the BDSM scene before you?
No, he had never played.
Okay. What was that conversation like with him when you were talking about like this being a desire for you and something you wanted to explore?
I have to say that, like, I have always mentioned it in relationships because it is a strong desire. But I have been shamed for it. Like, even the person I dated before my husband, I think I asked him to spank my ass, and he said, I would never hurt you, or something like that. Like, to turning my own words against me, like my own desires against me. So, he was receptive to the conversation, but we didn't really play for many years. And then it just kept seeping in. The conversation card started, seeped in. And I remember the very first time he like pulled my nipples a little bit. You start gently, and but my response inspired perhaps more play. And so I think he is discovering about himself things that are surprising to him as well. Yeah. And freeing.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like he's so nice.
Yeah, it's interesting. I can relate a little bit. My husband's very like a good, sweet, kind person. And so when I was asking for more kink oriented things, I don't think he quite got it at first. And he'll always, whenever I ask for something, I'm like, I would like to try this. He's like, why? And it's not that he doesn't, he has shame around it or anything, but he like genuinely wants to know like the reasons yeah. why, like what yeah. am I trying to accomplish or what am I hoping to experience? And so, but I think that early on it was something that was very hard for him to get his mind wrapped around because I was so kind of dominant in my daily life in terms of like how I showed up at work and in the community and in home and all of this. And so he was like, I don't want to hurt you. I'm like, it's not hurting me. I was like, what is hurting me is these gentle little touches that make my whole exactly. body just want to cringe. Oh. And just yes. like, get it
oh
off
my
of
God.
Me. And there's so much of
that's
that of
great.
Like, we're trying to like love each other, but just like the kinds of touch would just become this giant barrier. I mean, even I remember, oh, and I thought yeah. I was supposed to like that. So I remember there was a season in my life where I was like, let's listen to Norah Jones and light a candle. And sometimes I could get there, but it was like really hard. And so finally, like, what was this like understanding what kind of touch I needed, what kind of energy I needed, and then being able to communicate that with him. And then like, exactly like you said, it gave him so much freedom because then he's not worrying about hurting me or ruining me or breaking me. We can both hold space for each other's explorations yeah. now.
Oh, I love that. It's very, it feels like the touch is animalistic. You know, it's like,
yeah,
grab my hair, take control. Like, you know, I'm not, yes, feels good. I don't know. I agree totally, 100%, totally understand what you're saying. The light touches could make a person scream.
Yes.
and the whips do not. They are right. very good and delicious. So I'm with you 100%. That's a beautiful way of explaining it.
Yeah. It's wild kind of how different bodies are and being able yeah. to find partners, but also I think like co-create partnerships together mm-hmm. that are good for both parties.
I feel very, very, very fortunate, you know, that I love my husband. Oh, so in love with my husband. And also we have this beautiful sex life. You know, yeah. I feel very lucky because without it, I would still be madly in love with my husband. But I'm so, so fortunate that he understands my needs, never questions them, never makes me feel different in whatever shape, body I'm in. We just have so much love for each other and it just translates so beautifully into the bedroom.
So earlier you had mentioned situations where play and BDSM didn't really go well. And I'm wondering what you learned about yourself or what you learned about BDSM that you've brought into your current relationship that's made this relationship so much stronger and healthier for you and your partner.
In one case, I just remember, well, I have put myself in dangerous situations, like in a car, not knowing where I'm going, like blindfolded, like that's crazy. Grown up me would not do that. Mm-hmm. Mature me would not do that. But like, for instance, I just had one person that I had met through a sex site that was, you know, bondage. That was our relationship. I didn't know him out of the bedroom.
Okay.
He was the dom, I was the sub. That's all I knew about him. I don't even know him very well. But what I do remember about that relationship was he'd ask what I wanted. He always suggested bringing another girl in, and I always said no, and he did it anyway. Huh. And just not respecting my wishes, not making it about me, that kind of thing taught me that there has to be mutual respect. I don't know if there has to be love, but I can say that I have a relationship full of love and it's a beautiful, beautiful experience. You know, I understand people can just have sex and be just fine without love, but I feel so intimate and loving and kind and beautiful in a relationship that is also loving. So what I learned for myself is that I don't enjoy casual sex, and I definitely don't enjoy not being heard. So I guess those are my lessons.
Well, and I think it's really important too, because that dynamic is very much outside of consent. And consent is like the number one, if there's going to be a rule in kink, it's got to be consent. And whether that's, you know, an ongoing deliberate conversation, which many times it is, or it's through just like where you're at with your partner now, where you have established a rhythm and routine of what's acceptable and what's not. But when one or both partners are outside of consent, it's not going to be good. It's not going to be healthy. So that trust component is absolutely essential.
Right. The trust was gone. And the thing is, you know, he'd ask me and I would tell him and he would still do it anyway, which was so annoying. Mm-hmm. So because my desires have driven me to these websites where, you know, you can find a dom, just total idiot men, you know, in some cases that think they can just dominate you without the sexual, you know, without this deliciousness part. So you really do have to know the person you're connecting with, I guess is what I want to say.
Yeah, I'm reading a book right now called Unbound, and I can't remember the author's name, but she's a former dominatrix in New York City, like one of the top dominatrixes, and then a former Taoist nun as well. So she really talks about and defines like what it means to be in that sub role and what it means to be in that dominant role. And going back to kind of our earlier conversation, in that dominant role, their attention is all on you and they're gaining pleasure from your pleasure and from like taking care of you. And so, you know, they talk about like bad doms and bad subs. Like those are bad doms when they're not for your pleasure.
But my husband says my eyes are like, you know, he's like, your eyes just give it away that you're, you know, you're 100% in. And so he's getting pleasure just because
have
he can see that I'm enjoying myself.
Have there been helpful resources or workshops or events that you two have gone to learn kind of the technique of play? Or has it all just been discovered and explored in your sex room? What is your...
I have to say that we have learned... I mean, I watch a lot of porn. And we always are better than them. Always like, we do that so much, but we're so much better than these people. But when I was younger, I read, and a dom had suggested this book to me, which I thought was very good. Screw the Roses, Send Me the Thorns. That book is old, but that was helpful in learning the roles, you know, what was expected and stuff of both of them. So that was good. But we do watch a lot of porn, and like if I like something, a photo or a gif or something, I send it to him and he sends it to me. We're very all, you know, even if we play once a week, we're constantly teasing each other with things to wonder and worry about. I like to say, like, that's exciting. And, you know, I'll ask him sometimes to send me a text of what he wants to do, and that'll get my brain going and worried in a good way, you know, like, can't wait. I'm like a little kid, like, woohoo, can't wait to play. Well, our room is, we have a very big giant tool chest, literally from Home Depot, with drawers and stuff full of all the toys, and a bench that stays in there, and that his son comes to visit. And so we move the toolbox so he's not curious about what's inside there. But the bench stays in there. But when he's not there, I have a real skin rug that we lay over it. And it's luscious and furry. And my hands, you know, are in it because, you know, I'm usually on all fours on the bench. But we have, just like this room, we have like Hughes lighting. So it can be any form of sexy, you know, any color. And it's downstairs. And so... When I get ready for real life, it takes about 20 minutes, including doing my hair. But when I get ready for sex, it takes like 2 hours because I shower thoroughly, I want to say. But, you know, I do the enema and I shave my legs and shave all my body parts. And I do my hair very carefully, which is so funny because I'm not leaving the house. You know, it's like only for him. But he really appreciates that. And I put my makeup on very heavy, which I never do. I don't wear very heavy makeup at all. And I get dressed. And then I come down to the room and like present myself. And as I'm walking down the stairs, I do feel transported. I am leaving Hara upstairs, and I feel like I have a pseudonym for myself. Like Scarlet downstairs. And so I don't have to be the busy thinker, the creative person, the mom, the anything. And she's all upstairs. She's just gone. She's not even around. And I get to be whoever I am downstairs. It's really, really cool as I walk down the stairs that I really do feel like I'm shedding it off.
I love that so much. We talked about role playing a few episodes back. And what you are talking about, what was said there too, is like the anticipation component is so sexy and
it's
fun,
so good.
And it just heightens, I think, all of your senses and makes
yes.
the time you do have together just mean so much more and feel so much more. But then
yeah.
also the intentionality I'm hearing too behind like the 2 hours of preparing, and I'm sure you're thinking about, you know, letting things go and welcoming new personas in and new sensations and so forth.
Yeah.
And
those days, there's nothing on my calendar ever. We have a whole day for ourselves. You know, we wake up thinking about it, like, when can we get started? You know, like, and sometimes the night before, he'll edge me. And so I'm very ready. And then the whole time we're playing, he's getting me to the edge and stopping. So for 4 hours, by the time he finally lets me, it's so good because, you know, kind of all week I'm, because of the photos and stuff, I'm ready. And then by the time we're in it, I'm ready, you know. And then he just, it's a beautiful, beautiful, long, terrible, torturous experience because I'm ready, 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 ready. But it makes me, you know, very Scarlet. I'm very in, you know, when we're in, it's not tepid sex is what I want to say. You know, it's very focused and passionate and eager for
each
other.
That's so neat. It's so neat. One of the things that I love about these interviews is because all of our guests obviously are in like midlife and beyond. And I think that what's so beautiful about it is what comes with maturity is this like self-knowledge and embracing of self and kind of shedding a lot of those expectations. So you have access to just enormous amounts of pleasure that maybe we didn't have access to before when we were younger and it was performative, or maybe for somebody else, or we're still just trying to figure out what it is we like. Like, do we like Nora Jones or don't we? I don't know.
I love that so much. Yeah. I just interviewed, I think there was 13 women ultimately on my podcast about sex, and it was all over the board. I mean, I just feel sad for people. I feel sad for everybody who doesn't embrace who they are. So Come As You Are was a beautiful book that I didn't even think I needed. And I'm so, so, so glad I read it.
Yeah.
I felt, you know, I've been playing for a long time. I'm like, somebody suggested it to me. I had a coffee date with somebody that I hardly know, and she suggested it. I was like, whatever. But I downloaded it right then. And then I was like, why isn't this required reading? Why don't our young women know these things?
I like to start everybody with that book because I just think it's so empowering and everybody sees something different in it, you know, and the stories of what comes out from what people took away. Like, we're all reading the same book. We're all having something that we describe or call as sex, but we take what matters and resonates with us and our own unique experiences and stories and flavors and all of that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I heard permission in her book. That's what what I kept getting was, I'm fine just as I am. My labia is fine. You know, that was a question I asked everybody. My belly is fine. I decide what walls I'm bringing up, putting up. It's not, my belly is not getting in the way unless I decide it is. You know, that's kind of what I heard from her, which I really appreciated.
So good. So like the Heron 10 years from now, what do you hope for her?
We keep talking about this because we're having like BDSM sex. And I'm like, at 70, are we going to be doing this? You know, I'm 56 in a week. That's a fine question. And I do really hope that there's still some element is whatever ability we have. However, you know, I joke now that, you know, getting to my knees isn't as easy as it used to be. You know, like I want to be sexy, but can you help me up? So there is some considerations, but I think I really hope that we're still playing because it's a beautiful experience and it's intimate and whatever that will look like in 10 years, you know, whatever modifications we have to make, you know, that'll be good. But I'm sure we'll still play because it has brought us together in a way That's we so never beautiful. Could have imagined. Thanks.
Well, thanks Thank so you. Much for thanks being for here. Me. I really appreciate your candidness and openness. I think it's so helpful to be able to get kind of peeks behind the veils, if you will, and seeing what's possible. And I love hearing different stories because then you just kind of get to pick and choose like, okay, oh, I want to try that. Or I never thought about that from that perspective before. And I think things that can maybe seem scary on the surface suddenly become less scary because you see an example of somebody else experiencing enormous amounts of pleasure in it. So I really appreciate you sharing your story. And I do hope that you get to keep doing this. I love that you have a sex room. I love your routine and your rhythm and all the anticipation. I think that those are like all the right things to be doing yeah. in relationships. And yeah, I just hope you keep doing that.
I feel like if the general public knew how happy I was in the bedroom, you know, like they'd totally be jealous of me.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily promoting it. We have 5 children between us uh-huh. and I don't think our kids want to know. And so I'm not screaming it from the rooftops, but also I'm not ashamed of it. And I'd be happy to talk about it with them.
Yeah. Well, I sure appreciate it. And I will look forward to chatting with you again in the future sometime.
Okay, sounds good. Thank
Take
you.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed this story, I hope you'll subscribe so you don't miss the next one. Please share it with a friend to keep the conversation going and leave a review. That would be super helpful. We invite you to follow us on Instagram at Life Turned On Podcast. And if you have a story you'd like to share, please email us at stories@lifeturnedonpodcast.com. And the next time you're looking for lingerie or sexual wellness products, I hope you'll consider shopping at lingerboutique.com so we can continue to normalize rest and pleasure together.